Welcome to St James, a Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This podcast is an edited recording of our Sunday morning service from April 7th, 2024. For news and information, and to find out how to join us, please visit stjamesleith.org.uk.
James, bit of a select hardcore here today, the Sunday after Easter, but it's lovely to see you all, and lovely to see everyone at home. Hello, everyone at home. So lovely to see you all at home and here in the building on this sunny, blustery day. My name's Sally, I'm leading this morning, and we'll have a reflection from Ian later on. So we begin our service in the usual way. Fiona will light a candle. Those of you at home, if you'd like to light your candles, and we will sound the singing bowl and begin with a moment of quiet. Let us pray. With nature in its power and beauty, with rain and wind and sunshine, with the ancient rocks and the budding flower,
we gather in praise of God.
With believers and seekers the whole world wide, with people in every land and speakers of every language,
we gather in praise of God.
With all the angels and saints in heaven, and with all who have worshipped in this place, we gather in praise of God. With Jesus, who promised his presence, and the Spirit who showers her blessings, we gather in praise of God. Here, let heaven and earth embrace. Here, may God's people find home. Amen. And let's stand to sing our first song, Behold, Behold.
Behold, behold, my behold is new, beginning with you and starting from today.
Come to our time of confession. For the right roads we have avoided, travelling, and the kindly words we refuse to share. For the false gods who received our worship, and the true selves we have starved of love. God, by your grace, forgive us. For all we should be and all we can amend, God, in your love, renew us. For all you have in store for us and all you may ask of us, God, in your love, prepare us. For the life of the world and the love of its people, God, in your love, commit us. Hear and believe these words of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Come and follow me. And now let's celebrate that with our lovely Gloria, led by the music group. Let's say the collect together. Risen Christ, for whom no door is unlocked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts, that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace. To the praise of God the Father. Amen.
Our reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Glory to Christ, our Saviour. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel, good news for all. Praise to you, O Christ.
Loving God, we ask that you'd open our minds and our hearts to a deeper understanding of your love, so that it might draw us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. Amen. So this morning, in our faith, the big things to believe in is the incarnation of Jesus and the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. And I sometimes feel we go into Easter and we go straight to the resurrection, and this passage actually, resurrection passage, points us back to the cross. So I'll start with Thomas, and then I want to expand really to see how our faith engages with what's going on in our world. I heard Alexis Sale, the comedian, I don't know if you know him, but he was at a rally recently and he said, I can't do any comedy shows with what's going on, particularly in the Middle East. It's the only thing I can talk about at the moment is this. And I feel a little bit like that at church, that we, with what's going on in our world, we need to really think about how our faith engages with that. So forgive me if I go off-piste a little bit from the passages, but I will start with Thomas. I'll be good. So in our reading, Thomas, who was not with the disciples originally, as you know, arrives and he says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And it's interesting that Thomas does not ask to see Jesus' face, but to see and touch his wounds. And I think Thomas understands that Jesus' wounds are the deepest expression of God's love. And he wants to know whether that deep expression of love is still alive. And of course, Jesus returns to Thomas, interestingly, not individually, but when he's in community, when he's in a group with the other disciples. And he says to him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put your hand and put it in my side." Demonstrating a deep trust of Jesus and vulnerability to let another touch his wounds. And Thomas responds by having the courage to touch Jesus' wounds and to be touched by them. And when he does so, he explains, "My Lord and my God." For he then recognizes the extent of Christ's love that will never allow him to be separated from him, a love that is written into God's DNA. So as I said at the beginning, this resurrection story points us back to the cross. And this morning, more than anything, I want us to move our understanding from a God who is not only for us, but with us. And if you manage to make that move from here to here, I guarantee it will have a life-changing impact. But that's easier said than done. Now, of course, Jesus died for us to deal with our sin, reconcile us to God, defeat evil, overcome death, so that we have everlasting life. And I'm not in any way saying that there is not truth in that. Of course, there is deep truth in that. But to fully understand the depth and extent of God's love, we need to move prepositions, I think, from for to with. Sam Wells, a friend of mine who's rector at St. Martin in the field, believes that with, he says, is the most important word in theology. And it's certainly at the heart of understanding the cross. And I think there's a danger of sanitizing the horror of the cross. We get this idea that Jesus' death is somehow okay, it's part of a big plan, it's all orchestrated, comprehensible, and kind of somehow appropriate. But really, Good Friday is a mess. Jesus doesn't conquer, but is humiliated. The cross confronts us with a fragile God who experiences feelings of betrayal, despair, shame, fear, sorrow, and total abandonment. It's a day where the highest political authorities wash their hands of the horror, and just think of the resonances for today. Exalted leaders connive, common people accuse and hate, close friends flee, betray, and deny Jesus. It's as awful as it gets. It's not Good Friday, it's bloody awful Friday. And it's revealing so much that is bad about humanity and the world we live in. But it also reveals the nature of God. God always intended Jesus to come amongst us, not to fix a problem, but to embody God's love. And the incarnation, which is Jesus coming on earth and becoming human, comes with great love and risk. A risk that Jesus would be treated like the sunflower, which I said in the story that I told in the last station's walk, and which you can find on the website. It's only a short piece. And when that risk of maltreatment, abuse, and torture is realized, God does not back out, lash out, or miraculously unleash power to defeat persecutors. Instead, God undergoes the full horrifying consequence of that risk that comes with the Word becoming flesh. And Sam Wells, in a book called Hanging by the Thread, illustrates this risky love by recounting the story of the boy in the striped pajamas. I don't know if you know that. It's become a film and a children's book. And I'm using his description to describe it, to summarize it if you don't know the story. It involves two boys, Bruno, a German boy, and Shmuel, a Jewish boy, and is set in World War II. Bruno and his family move to a new part of Germany because his father is going to be commandant of a new kind of camp. And when they arrive, Bruno is eager to explore and find things to do. So he wanders out of the backyard, through his garden, goes through a wood, and he finds a high fence, which is massively symbolic. And within the fence, there are people wearing pajamas, striped pajamas. And through the fence, Bruno finds a boy his own age called Shmuel, and they strike up a friendship. Bruno repeatedly visits the fence, and the boys play drafts, they talk about many things. They often have a break in their conversation for fear of being discovered. And Bruno cannot understand why Shmuel is incarcerated, why he wears pajamas, why he is so thin and hungry, and what role his father plays in all this. And at the same time, tensions are rising at home as his mother and sister realize what is going on in the camp. And one day, Bruno gets a surprise, and he sees Shmuel working as a cleaner in his home. So Bruno sneaks Shmuel some food, but a soldier interrupts him and demands to know why Shmuel is eating and where he got the food from. So Bruno panics, betrays Shmuel, saying he knows nothing and has never met Shmuel before. Bruno deeply regrets his betrayal, and when he gets time, rushes back to the fence to say sorry to Shmuel. Shmuel, when he arrives, Shmuel has clearly been beaten and has a black eye and bruises on his face. Bruno apologizes, and Shmuel fairly quickly forgives him. Now, Bruno's father, bear with me as I just explain the story. Bruno's father finally accepts that it is no place to bring up a family and decides to send him elsewhere in Germany. Bruno's distraught at the prospect of leaving Shmuel, goes to the fence, and the two boys hatch a plan to stay together. So Shmuel gets some pajamas for Bruno to blend into the camp so that they don't have to that he doesn't have to leave with his family. Bruno scrambles under the fence, dons a hat to cover his unshaven head, and the boys set about finding Shmuel's father, who has gone missing. And suddenly, the atmosphere changes. Soldiers appear everywhere, and they start corralling people towards this large barn. And there's no escape. The two boys are swept towards the barn. Meanwhile, Bruno's mother discovers that Bruno is missing, sounds the alarm, and a host of soldiers go looking for him inside and outside the camp. But it is too late. He's in the barn beside Shmuel. Everyone is told to take their clothes off, ready for the shower. It then becomes clear to the boys, Bruno's mother, and the reader and the viewer that something terrible is going to happen. Bruno and Shmuel clasp hands, and it's clear nothing in the world could persuade them to unclasp those hands. As darkness descends, the gas is pumped in, and as the horror engulfs the barn, Bruno says, "You're my best friend, Shmuel, my best friend for life." Now, it's a children's story, but it's not a children's story. It's about ethnic cleansing, genocide, indescribable suffering, merciless cruelty, a nation hiding the truth from itself and rationalizing evil, and people turning a blind eye. Now, the resonance to Gaza is clear, and I could go on, but I'll just be short. A concentration camp where nobody can leave and where children are targeted. Recently, The Guardian, who I have to say is reporting on this has been underwhelming, but I think is changing, did an article where they said medical staff report of children as young as 7 years old being deliberately shot below the knees in order to cripple them so that they don't, in their words, grow up to be terrorists. Where 14,000 children have died, and a UN agency says surviving children do not even have the energy to cry as famine looms in the besieged enclave, which has been bombarded for months. So the two stories are very resonant. And obviously the sad thing is that what's happened to one people, they are then doing to another people. But our story of friendship of the two boys, I think, points us to salvation. In the midst of appalling cruelty and organized annihilation, Bruno and Shmuel clasp each other's hands, demonstrating their inseparability of their friendship, defined by trust, forgiveness, and love. And I want to suggest that the story of Shmuel and Bruno is a picture of God and us. Jesus enters the camp, taking on the garment of exclusion, taking on the striped pajamas, and suffering. Jesus is Bruno donning pajamas, reshaping his whole life to be with us, coming inside the camp of isolation, abandonment, and desolation. And that's why Palestinian Christians find so much hope in the cross. That's why Munta Isaac talks about Jesus under the rubble, a Jesus who is with them in their suffering. But Jesus is also Shmuel, carrying the black eye, forgiving us when he has suffered for our sin. And I suppose the question for us is, whose hand is holding ours in the chaos, in our anxieties, in our fears, and possibly even our terror about our world? Who goes out of their way to stand with us? Who forgives us when we turn our back on them? Who dons striped pajamas for us? And I think a good friend is a thing of real beauty, because in their hands lies the secret of our souls and can bring about our salvation, which is another word for our healing. And certainly, if we think about Jesus with us, then Jesus can be that friend. Not a superficial friend that you get in some of the songs, but that deep, deep friendship. That's why a lot of what we do, we're sort of moving to more contemplative prayer, because it's about prayer of being with, of being silent, being with God. It's not just about coming to a God with a list of things that we want, and that there's nothing wrong, let me say, of praying for what's our deepest heart's desire. That's really important. But actually, it's about being with God and deepening our faith and understanding more deeply that God is with us in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. This is the heart of our faith, that God has chosen to be our friend, and that in whatever situation we find ourselves, Jesus is our friend forever, clasping our hand and never letting go. And when we discover the God who is not only for us, but with us, it gives us resilience, it empowers us, and it gives us compassion. Enough compassion, I think, to make us willing to then don striped pajamas and be that friend for another. And if we put beside this truth held of Jesus being with us, with the truth of the resurrection, which Thomas experiences and tells us that suffering, chaos, and evil is not the end of the story, but that peace, love, and justice will prevail, then we have a gospel that really is good news. And I'd like to end with a quote by Richard Rohr, which says, "The resurrection is not just Jesus' private miracle. It is a new shape of reality. It is a new shape of the world. It is filled with grace. It is filled with possibility. It is filled with newness. And it is filled with hope." Amen.
We have a simple response today, which is I'll say Emmanuel, and you respond, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So two quotes from our gospel reading. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And later it says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Let's pray. Loving God, we're full of praise for you today that you're right here with us. You do not stay distant. You're not an abstract idea, but the God who made us, who made this world, and comes to live with us and within us. In Jesus, you came to the camp. You donned the striped pajamas. You came despite the risk. You came in the story to the disciples, and then you came even to Thomas. Thank you that you come to us right now and are with us right now, our Lord and our God. And we bring our needy world to you right now. We remember the plights of the peoples of Sudan, Yemen, Ukraine. And 6 months on from 7 October, we remember the peoples of Gaza, Palestine, and Israel. Not only do you see each of these hurting places, but you're right there with those hurting peoples. And your voice says to them, as it did in Jesus to the disciples, "Peace be with you." So we in our turn dare to pray for peace in all those places and wherever there is conflict. Emmanuel, God with us. We pray for our community and our church. We thank you for Leith. We thank you for putting us here, in this place, in this time. Teach us what it means not to be vaguely for the people here, but genuinely with the people here. Show us just what that means for all that we do as a community. Help us to show our neighbours that ultimately, it is you who are with them and will always be with them forever. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here at this community of St. James. Thank you for the great diversity, for the ones we like, the ones we don't like, for the oddities, for the straightforward, for each of us. We thank you. We thank you for the example in our readings of the early church, how they were of one heart and one soul. Help us day by day to grow more and more like that. And as we experience you with us, to see where and how you are working in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us. We pray for ourselves. Thank you that you are with us, not just in the holy moment of church, but tomorrow morning in the dark watches of the night and forever. Forgive us when we diminish our view of who you are, when we retreat into thinking you're a vaguely supportive idea or something distant. Bring us back again and again in the still to revel in the fact that you are with us, right alongside us and within us. Emmanuel, God with us. And today, finally, we remember all those who are in despair, downhearted or lonely, for whom you are at best distant and at worst absent or malign. We pray that they may know that you call them by name, that you love them, that you are with them, that you clasp their hand and will never let them go. In a moment of quiet, let's each raise someone we know to God. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's close our prayers with the prayer that Jesus, who's with us, taught us on the sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Loving God, we thank you for feeding us with your body and blood. And we ask that you'd open our hearts and minds increasingly to your deep friendship so that we can provide others with deep friendship as well.
May the God who shakes heaven and earth, whom death could not contain, whom lives to disturb and heal us, bless us with the power to go forth and proclaim the gospel. And the blessing of God the Creator, Christ our risen Saviour, and the Spirit of life and love be with us all, now and forever. Amen. And let's sing our final song, Alleluia.